We are so excited to launch Woman Run the podcast. Right, Lindsay and Jennings started Woman Run in 2019 to help build community and to share the stories of those who inspire us. Over the years, we've highlighted women who start businesses, women who lead businesses, and women who help others grow through mentorship and collaboration. We believe that building community through shared experiences helps everyone thrive. A rising tide lifts all boats, and we want to be part of that tide of change. Mm-hmm. With Woman Run the podcast, we want to meet you where you are and provide the resources and motivation that you can access when your schedule allows. We hope you enjoy this new format, and we look forward to hearing from you about speaker ideas and how Woman Run can continue to cultivate this community. I'm Meredith Lowry, an attorney at Wright, Lindsay & Jennings, and your host for today. Joining me is Natalie Bartholomew, Northwest Arkansas Community President for First Community Bank and the founder of the Girl Banker Community. So we're going to hear from Natalie's insights from her career in community banking, which is a very male-dominated field, and how community is important to success. Hi, Natalie.
Hello, Meredith.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's dive in.
Okay.
What would people be surprised to learn about you? Start with some softball ones.
Sure. I think that's an easy one. Unless you've known me forever, I think that something that surprises people sometimes is to know that I have a twin sister. So there are two of us roaming the earth.
I knew that.
Yes. Some people do, but some people are really surprised to find that out. I'm the older one, so 5 minutes older. I think that matters when you're the only siblings and you're twins. We are very, very similar, yet also very, very different, which I love. Could we finish each other's sentences? Probably. But we also have very much our own unique personality, which I attribute to our parents. So anyway, yeah, that's something unique about me.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she's here.
She is in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, okay.
She is a professor for Texas Tech. So okay. She was a Razorback first, and now she's a Red Raider. We won't hold that against her.
Only slightly. Okay. So what do people misunderstand about you?
You know, something that sometimes, again, if you don't know me, you would be surprised to know that I'm a farm girl and that I was raised on my family's farm and still live there. And, you know, I've always have said I can't be taken seriously without wearing high heels, or so I can't be taken seriously wearing flats. But yet, I also don't mind put on muck boots and do the things on the farm. So, yeah, I think that that's the thing.
This is one of the things I love about you, because you are always so put together when I see you in the heels and all of that. But I also know how much you can get dirty and deal with cattle and do hay time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important part of community. It's just having that tie to something so entrenched in Arkansas.
Yeah. I'm the fifth generation on my family's farm. My two boys are the sixth generation. And it is very, very much a huge part of who I am. And I think that the work ethic that I have and appreciation for getting out of what you put into something really comes from just that long history on the farm.
I love it. So some of our other Woman Run speakers are good friends of yours. I have a feeling I know the answer to this next question. Who would you talk to, or who do you go to when you're feeling stuck in like business or just personally?
Yeah, whenever we saw some of these questions earlier, I was thinking immediately, I know how to answer this. I would say my very good friend, Allison Twiggs Dyer, is this person. It's funny. So because she's from Northwest Arkansas, I'm from Northwest Arkansas. Our families have been here for a long time. And, you know, sometimes the universe throws you together and your paths cross in really unique ways. And we were brought together earlier in my career at a previous bank that I worked at when my primary role was marketing. And so we met then and have just developed a friendship and really a mentorship, such a deep mentorship over the years that, you know, she is able to help me look at things through a different lens and different perspective. And I just really value that. I really value, you know, the lack of judgment, her ability to see things in a way that helps me to grow as a person. She's not afraid to line me out too if I need to, which I think is really important. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a role like I am now, you may be surrounded by yes people that just want to tell you what you want to hear. And so I really value that she can tell me maybe what I don't want to hear, but I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that she can help me get through some of those tough times too. And so I value that immensely. What's crazy is that, and I promise I'm coming full circle here, when I talk about how the universe brings you together. So whenever I was in middle school, the really awkward middle school years, I was really into basketball and went to a lady back camp. And this would have been the early 90s, which is when Allison actually played for the Ladybacks.
Yeah.
And one day we were chatting about, you know, just kind of timelines and things. And I said, oh my gosh, I bet I was at a camp when you were on the team. And my mom, so back in the day, whenever you didn't have everything digital on your phone, pictures were taken to be, you know, printed out and you have them in an album. And so my mom has done a really great job over the years of categorizing, you know, all of these photo albums. So I went and grabbed the 1991, 1992 photo album, and there is a photo of both of us. We're both in the same photo from the early 90s, and here she is, a Razorback, and I'm just a kid at camp. So
that is so precious.
Such a fun story that we found. And yeah, it's just kind of cool how sometimes you get a little glimpse of the future, and then, you know, she's such a special person to me. I think it's really cool that we have something like that from so long ago, back in the 1900s.
The kids probably think that is so ancient.
Yeah, kind of is. Feels okay. That way.
Well, so I know she is involved with the Girl Banker. Mm-hmm, she's mm-hmm. part of your professional career. Do you have other professional mentors?
You know, I would say that I've been really fortunate over the years to work for good bosses, bad bosses, everything in between. And I think it's important to recognize that sometimes through different phases of life or different phases of your career, that it's okay to kind of go in and out of having these mentors. And so there's probably different people throughout my life that have, you know, been really important at a certain phase of my career that maybe are no longer relevant. You know, Allison's probably been the one that's been there the longest. But, you know, kind of a curveball to your question is that sometimes mentors can lead by good and bad examples. And so
that's true.
Just to kind of say that sometimes, you know, you become who you are or the leader that you are based on those experiences. And so I am now at a point in my career where I think, you know, through the painful times and the good times, is to recognize it for what that is and be appreciative of it, and then move on and grow from it.
You know, there can be a lot of growth from having a bad boss.
yeah.
Well, let's kind of go with that a little bit more.
Okay.
What do you think is important for good company culture?
Mm-hmm. This is something that I take really, really seriously, which, you know, I think that it starts from the top down. And if you don't have leadership that buys into the importance of a good company culture, it has to be so much more than just words, you know, or something up on a wall in your conference room or in your break room. It has to be something that is there's a lead by example on a daily basis. And that involves a lot of trust and empowerment. And so I think that, you know, a good culture starts with building that trust and empowering your team to do their job, allowing them to do their job. But there's a lot of other things that go into that, too. I think, you know, recognizing boundaries, understanding that if you say, hey, family first, that your company actually leads by that as well. So what does your maternity leave policy look like? What does your PTO policy look like? You know, I've now in the position that I'm in, I've had a couple of circumstances where I've had to put my money where my mouth is and make sure that those people that are going through a tough time with family, whether it be medical or whatever, that they know that they have the support from us at the bank, and from me as their leader to lean into that the way they need to, and also know that they're supported at the bank. And so, you know, that's something I could go on all day about. Something at First Community Bank that I love to share about that we have to kind of add an extra layer to the importance of culture. We actually have a culture officer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
She has, I don't know if it's, I think it's a certification, like a life coach or certification in executive coaching. And I value what she does so much because it's so much more than, again, the words on the wall or making sure the website and social media say all these things about how much we value employees. She really makes sure that we have initiatives and different things in place that prove that. So her job kind of started out as someone that would help HR and marketing, I think, help them with coaching the executives. Which I think is great because just because you're in an executive leadership position, it doesn't mean you should stop learning or that you should stop working on yourself.
Yeah.
If anything, that's probably the time when you need to work the most. But what's incredible about her, her name's Danita High, and hi Danita, if you're listening to this, is that her role has probably expanded beyond what she would have ever even imagined. She doesn't just coach executives. She's kind of become like an in-house counselor to anyone. We have over 600 employees. And so, you know, whether it is career development, coaching through that, or maybe it's some kind of personal or family trauma that they're going through. I mean, because life's tough. Things happen. And we can't just ignore that. If we aren't happy outside the office, then we're not going to perform well in the office. And so she has just done, I mean, a tremendous job in doing that. And so anyway, her role is really, she's getting to grow her team, which I'm really excited about because I can't imagine what she carries every day and coaching 600 employees and being kind of their personal counselor. But I really value that we take that mental health aspect into consideration with culture and just making sure that as the bank grows and gets bigger, that we aren't losing the focus on that too.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Having that person, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great.
You said empowerment. And so I'm going to jump in. Like we've been talking, but we haven't talked about the girl banker.
Yeah.
So let's tell people about that.
Yeah. The Girl Banker platform is a community. I like that you called it a community because truly that is what it is. But it's kind of just what started as a side hustle. In 2017, my friend Allison that we had talked about, she had really been encouraging me to think through starting a blog. And at this point in my career, I was really starting to kind of find myself and become Natalie, the banker. I mean, I'd been in banking for a long time at that point, but was really starting to come into my own. And, you know, blogs were a big deal about that time. And so my argument always was, what do I have to say that anyone is going to care to read about? You know, I don't have any special certification. There's nothing really that I could say that anyone's going to want to sit down and read. And at that time, you know, there was a lot happening culturally in regard to, you know, the Me Too movement was coming about.
Yep.
And just kind of a focus on women and women in leadership. And something that I had attended an event, a bank-related event, not the bank I was at, but it was kind of a conference I was at to protect the innocent here. And I had recognized at this event that there were no, there was no one there that looked like me, meaning there were no women, hardly any women, and there were definitely not very many young women. There were definitely very few to little or no women of color. And so the lack of diversity was really screaming at me, and it bothered me. And as someone that always knew that they wanted to be a banker, so I grew up knowing that. I made my twin sister play bank with me when we were little. That sounds so nerdy, but I had a grandfather that was in banking for a number of years, 45 to be exact, and that was back in the day before computers, and he would bring home all the cool little forms. Or little bank tickets.
The cool little forms.
Yeah, I loved me some forms. And so we would play bank, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought I did. And so it was troubling to me. I guess the narrative I started thinking about was, I had that influence and wanted to be a banker, but if we aren't changing the narrative to young women, and then you come to a conference like this and don't see anyone, you know, that looks like you there, then there's never going to be young women interested in this industry. And so I kind of started thinking through, like, maybe this is the niche. Maybe this is the thing, right, that needs to have some awareness around it. And so Allison and I were at another conference, and we were talking about it, and it was starting to kind of, you know, get there. And at the time, the word or the phrase girl boss was not as... It was a good thing then. Now I think it may have kind of a toxic meaning to it, but that's kind of the play on that, is where the girl banker came from in terms of the name. And I also felt like a platform that supported and advocated women in banking, when it's called the girl banker, it could also be, like I said, changing that narrative to young women that, you know, we go to high schools and speak sometimes, the bank does, and the young women are usually not very engaged, because they've never considered a career in finance. It's never been told to them that, hey, you could have an opportunity as a banker. Whereas the boys are, you know, they don't ever think about anything not being an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I thought that the girl banker name could be kind of, you know, an ode to them as well. So I had my logo, like it was someone off of Etsy that made my logo. I mean, this was 2017. I developed my brand colors. I started a social media platform, several platforms, created the website. It was a very grassroots, very basic attempt. And someone at the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal caught wind of it and did an interview and put me on the front page. And it's funny because I, for the first time, was really putting myself out there about something. And it is fascinating, the kickback I received was not from men, but from women. And so I had comments sent to me on social media platforms that were like, I would follow, but I don't like the name. And I remember at the time, my oldest was then, he was 6 years old or something like that. And he said, well, the woman banker just doesn't sound right. And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
So, you know, it's just been interesting over the years where that feedback is, you know, the negative feedback. It's primarily been from women. However, I don't want that to take away from the very positive feedback. So the website, the blog, and there were, you know, the first post I ever made was about mom guilt. And how my perception of the whole work-life balance thing is really fake. It's just a term that someone in a corporate office sat down and they wanted to improve their culture. And so they thought, we're going to coin this work-life balance, you know, scam. Because I don't think you're ever balanced. I don't think you're ever perfectly balanced. And I think that's okay. But that post, even though it was my first one, I think helped gain some credibility beyond the banking world. Of like, you know, starting this conversation around mom guilt and what that looks like, that you can be guilty, feel guilty from being at home and not at work. And then, you know, you can feel guilty for being at work and not at home. And, you know, those things always can live together. But from the blog, it became more of a social media community, and then had the opportunity to do some speaking engagements. So I think over the last 8-9 years, I've done, I've been in or touched 28 states, but I've done some states multiple times. I'm about to check off California in a couple weeks, so that'll be fun. But it's been the most empowering thing has been a Facebook group I started.
Oh, the Facebook group is amazing. I get to be in it, and even though I'm not a banker. It is.
As my attorney, and we should tell, because I've had to kick a lot of people out that are vendors and things. But but that matters. So the Facebook group, you know, I had the Facebook page. I had the Instagram account. I one day, you know, Facebook was saying, hey, if you have a profile, you should probably have a group. And this was pre-pandemic. And I thought, well, Facebook's telling me I should have this group. Let's start the group. So I started the group as just really a means to an end. I thought, well, it's got to be, you know, if you have this profile, you have to have it. And, you know, a few people joined, and then the pandemic hits. And so what went from like 600 members, like, was quadrupling overnight every night. Because what was happening is, especially the finance industry or community banking specifically, all of a sudden, not only were we dealing with, you know, how are you deciding to quarantine? Where are you buying your masks from? You know, what kind of, are you staying open? Are you closing your branches? Are you just doing drive-through? Do you have the plexiglass? Where are you getting this stuff? And all these women in banking, they were struggling to find these answers. And all of a sudden, there was this free community specifically for them, to where they could go and interact with one another and find these answers. So you talk about community. That yes. is a community. And now we're knocking on the door, may have surpassed 11,000 members. And
I think it's more than that.
Okay. So it's become a major source of information that women in banking can go to ask questions like, now that we've moved on from the pandemic, questions like, you know, I need some motivation. I'm really struggling with this new role and I'd love to connect with people in this role. Or maybe they're looking for a job. Maybe they have a life change or they're in a toxic work environment or whatever and they need to network with people to find a new job. Or maybe they're hiring. There's a post I do every month where people can post the job opportunities they have. And maybe they're trying to create a new department and they want feedback from people who have, or there's new regulation that's coming out and they need to talk through that and how to navigate that. I mean, really, the topics of conversation are endless. So there's separate chats that have been created now. And it's really fascinating, this community. And I don't allow vendors in there. It is just for women in banking. And the main reason is because, especially from the banking world, there's a lot of conversations about, I need feedback on this new core or, you know, this type of software or whatever from someone who's used it. And that prevents someone from going in with a sales pitch to try to sell it to them. So otherwise, I have lots of vendor friends and I value you and appreciate you. And there's been a lot of support out there, but that's been something that's been kind of a sticky thing of mine. So this group is just really, it's crazy to think that I had no intent to start it to begin with. And now the great thing about it is that it lives and breathes on its own, regardless of where I am. So if I'm busy doing my bank job, which is the important thing and the priority, it's out there moving forward, whether I'm engaged or not. So I'm very, very protective of it and very, very proud of it.
You should be very proud of it. It is a thriving community mm-hmm. and just seeing the feedback that someone can get mm-hmm. in those posts. And I don't always look at them, but I see a few pop up every yeah. day. And
it's fascinating.
And they're from everywhere.
Yeah.
And so it's just amazing.
And I'll tell you, it's, you know, it's tough. Social media is a wild place to be, as we know. It's gotten wilder. Oh, God. And there are times, just to be transparent and honest and authentic here, is that there's times where I'm like, I don't want to be on social media anymore. I don't want to be there. But man, if I did that, what would happen to this group? So, you know, it's there. I love it. I'm proud of it. And we'll continue to take care of it and cultivate it as long as the social media gods will allow me. So we'll see what the future of it looks like. You know, I will say the biggest weakness of that is that I don't own that space. And, you know, that's something that Allison and I have talked about before, and like why it's important to have the website that I have. And that content can live there. That's the only unfortunate thing about that Facebook group is that I'm not an ownership of my Facebook, you know, Zuck mm-hmm. owns that and I can't touch it. And so should he decide to do something, I need to come up with a backup plan. But, anyway, until then, we'll take really good care of it and hope that it continues to grow and thrive.
Your speaking engagements are also amazing. I see, as your attorney, I follow the crowd size and the marketing aspects mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. the trademark. But, I mean, you pack a house.
Which is insane to me. I mean, if you were to ask my 14-year-old or 8-year-old, you know, do you think your mom could? And they'd be like, I mean, I guess. Like, so they keep me humble. But it's wild to think that this has turned into the opportunity to stand alone on a stage with a mic and a platform alone. And, there's always, no matter how big the crowd, no matter the level of confidence that I may have, because I do, I have a presentation that I can give and I feel very confident giving it. I feel like I could give it in my sleep if I have to. And I add to it and change to it a little bit. But there's still a little piece of my brain that goes back to my sophomore public speaking class in college where I had a total just system failure and shut down. And it was like maybe 6 people in the class. It was tiny. But I totally bombed it. And so there's a little part of my brain that goes back to that when I'm standing in the aisle, like about to walk up on stage, that's like, what if she shows back up? Hope she doesn't join us today.
I get it. Because, I mean, and I do think that that's a thing everyone innately has a problem with public speaking. Like, there's just this piece of us that's just like, no, that's those are lions. I'm a gazelle, and
it's very
you want to run. But also, I think you can override it over time and get slightly accustomed. There's still that adrenaline spike every time I take a stage, too.
Oh, my gosh. But it's kind of like it's a high.
Yeah.
And then that level of high that you're on when it's over is on another level because, one, you're done. But then you're, you know, processing how it went and either feeling really good or whatever about it. You know, I've learned a lot about myself through those speaking engagements. I think one of the best things about it is to get to meet people in person that I've made digital relationships with.
Yes.
So it's great to have those in-person relationships and get to know this community that lives in Facebook, get to know them, you know, outside of that space, which is really nice. But you know, I've learned a lot about how to take care of myself because, you know, early on I was trying to, how can I still do this and be gone a minimal amount of time from work, be gone a minimal amount of time from home, but still execute the speaking engagement, get on a plane and come back home. So I was booking everything super tight, very little room for error. And a few things happened. I think it's important to share these things because if you're thinking about speaking engagements or doing this, learn from my mistakes. One was that I was very lucky that I didn't ever miss one from a missed flight or something or, you know, a delay. But what did happen is that, and there were two situations. One specifically was, it was in Colorado. And love Colorado. There's a direct flight from our airport that could get me to Denver. And the flight that I was on was delayed because of weather. And then not only was it delayed because of weather, but when we were in the air, it took like the plane went extra. We were an hour late landing because of weather. It took a little detour, I guess. So I was really late getting into Denver. And I had a rental car because I was essentially driving into the Rocky Mountains to a ski resort. It was in August, so there was no snow on the ground, very little. And by the time I landed in Denver and got my rental car, it was 11 p.m. And here I am by myself in a rental car headed into the Rockies. And it is 1 a.m. and I missed the exit to the ski resort of where I'm giving this presentation.
Oh, no.
And I get pulled over. And I had all the bad things going on in my mind of like, what's going to happen? Is this really a cop? You know,
yeah.
I'm about to be pulled into the mountains. Well, the very, very nice police officer got out and I'm sobbing. Ma'am, did you realize that your lights weren't on? Like, I just had on some kind of
running light.
Yeah, it wasn't the main lights. It was a rental car. I had no idea. And this is after like traveling into the Rocky Mountains in the dark. So there was that. And so I get to the room at about 2 a.m. and I lay down and I immediately am slammed with altitude sickness. And my heart is racing. And I don't know if anyone has ever had that is listening, but it is absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And so I never went to bed that night. And I was the keynote of a breakfast.
The next morning.
Yes. And so I went on stage with no sleep. And the Colorado Banking Association CEO, Jennifer Waller, who was very kind to come to my room with like the little air thing that you could squeeze into your, and I felt fine, got up on stage, did my thing, and then got back in the car and went back to the airport and died on the plane and flew back home. But I learned from that and about myself. One, make sure you're always hydrating. I wasn't taking care of myself, plain and simple.
Well, and plans to hydrate you so much.
And in Colorado. And so I had not given myself enough time. And that also was a great lesson to always require someone to go with me, you know, and to have somebody there to help. And so I learned a lot about that. Another one was, I was speaking in front of about 1,000 people at Financial Brand in Vegas. It was my first big, big, big one. And that was either in 2018, 19. And had massive anxiety attack all night. Did not sleep. And it was a 7 for 7 situation. So I had to give a pitch in 7 minutes. So it was outside my normal speaking. It was a challenge. You would think shortening it to 7 minutes would be easy, but it was essentially having something completely memorized. So I didn't eat anything. I had not slept and I was so anxious. It was one of the best speaking engagements I ever gave, I think. So I don't know what this says about me, but I can maybe work under pressure, but I don't like doing that. And so I've learned a lot. I definitely am well more prepared, hydrated, have someone with me all the time. Give myself time to experience where I'm going. You know, if I've created this cool opportunity for myself, you might as well enjoy it. So when you're going to these cool places like Colorado, why in the world, why I had not given myself a chance to enjoy that ski resort in summer? But instead, I was there and out so fast. So I've learned a lot over the last several years about how to do these and be effective for the community and giving the speech, but also to take care of myself and enjoy it. You know, do all this work just to wear yourself out.
Well, and also you could spend time with that community.
Yeah.
And
instead of just being go, 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 go.
The community you've built, I mean, it says a lot about you. It says a lot about, like, us, too,
mm-hmm.
and needing those connections. And so I'm glad.
100%. Thank you.
We have this.
Thank you.
What's next for the Girl Banker?
Well, that's a really good question, Meredith. I do have a podcast, too. If you were to go look it up, you'd be like, wow, it's been a bit since you've recorded an episode. And, you know, my role at First Community Bank is definitely my priority. And we are growing, as you know, and expanding in Northwest Arkansas and adding to my team. And so, you know, the demands and needs and things are definitely a little bit more prevalent. So I haven't had a chance to really add to the podcast. I always have good ideas and make notes. So someday we'll lock and load a bunch of them and get them out there. But I'm actually pulling back a little bit on speaking engagements in 2025 for a couple of reasons.
A new branch.
What I just mentioned, I mean, this bank is growing. And, you know, I think it's important to note, because I get this question a lot, of how does your bank feel about this? is your bank cool with this? I'm very lucky that, you know, First Community was well aware of this before I even joined the chat here. And I think it was part of why they wanted me to have a seat at this table. And so I also have to recognize those boundaries and what that looks like. So anytime I do a speaking engagement or have a day that's solely Girl Banker related, I take a PTO day. So having to, regulate that myself into having my own personal days versus that and managing that's kind of a whole thing. But kind of pulling back for that reason because I did a lot last year and it was almost too many. It was just too many. But I've got these kids and they're very involved in sports and, they're only this age for a certain amount of time. I actually had to pass up on one in October. It was a Thursday night in October of this year. It's in a new state. I could check off my map. And I had to say, I'm so sorry. I have to politely decline because Thursday nights in October, I'll be at a football field. And I'm not going to compromise that. So as far as what's new for the Girl Banker, I do have the store. And I don't know if that's on the list to talk about or not. But the store has some fun merch for women in banking. So that's just that can live out there. The group lives out there. I learned a long time ago to try not to define the future of this platform. Because what I've learned a lot about banking is that banking is constantly evolving. And so the need and relevancy of the Girl Banker platform could evolve and change as well. And I think it needs to evolve and change with me too. And so I'm grateful that the community can be there and thrive, regardless if I'm, traveling the country very often or not. But I'm kind of at a phase right now where I'm just going to kind of sit back and let it be, I think. Now ask me in 6 months and it could be completely different. But the good thing is it's mine and I can do with it what I want to. So that's kind of how I feel about it right now.
I think that's healthy. I mean, communities change.
Yes.
And trying to keep things in this rigid little box.
You can't do that.
It's just frustrating to everyone involved.
Absolutely. And it's too much, extra pressure on myself that's self-inflicted that I definitely don't need more of. So, I kind of realized that it's okay. It doesn't have to have the newest, greatest thing coming down the pipe. There's a lot of things I would love to do with it. I wish it had, I wish I had more interaction digitally in terms of like webinars or things of that nature, or open forums. And that's not to say that won't come at some point, but I'm definitely leaning into collaborations. So I'd have to give a shout out to the American Banking Association. I'm on the ABA Bank Marketing Advisory Board. And we launched the Girl Banker Brunch with the ABA Bank Marketing Conference a couple of years ago. It's been renewed for season 3.
Wow.
So we'll be in New Orleans this year. And it's been really fun to collaborate with them. And every year that does change a little bit. We bring women on stage and talk about relevant topics. And, the first year we did it was very, my friend Allison was on stage. She talked about Reject the Hustle. And it was kind of more of a just, hey, let's support each other and advocate for one another. Last year was more about the wealth transfer that is going on and how it's impacting women specifically. And I don't know how you could be a community bank and not be thinking about, that. Are you marketing your bank to attract women or to be, appealing to women to want to bank with you? And so we had 3 incredible people on stage that all had different perceptions and stories to tell about how their bank was doing that or some initiative that their bank was doing. And it was really good. So this year we're kind of in the very preliminary stages of planning what we're going to talk about this year. And I'm really excited about it because you talk about evolving. That started off as a fun brunch where everyone has mimosas and we're all wearing sequins because why not? And having good conversations to where we're just getting better and better at it every year.
I love the talk last year for the brunch because it brought in these women, one of them being our good friend, Shamin.
Yes.
Okola, who is also on Woman
and Ella.
Run.
Yeah. She stole Ella. The stage.
That little girl. Shamim has a book that she co-wrote with her son and about Ella the banker.
Yep.
So Liam and Shamim and Ella go and talk. They've won awards. Ella the banker is coming out with version
2.0. Yes.
Coming out soon. But it was not only am I in love with it because it's a woman-run speaker that also got to be on the stage with you.
Yeah.
You brought more people into that community fold, and it's fun.
I mean, it's almost easy to get emotional to think about that whole scenario. The opportunity, I had a couple people in my life. My friend Mallory, I had you, both of you at the same time. And you talk about the unit, like, it was just supposed to happen. You both were telling me about Shamim. And so we connected. And then the whole idea around what we were going to do with the brunch came about. And so we had the opportunity to bring Shamim. It was her first national appearance, I guess, for her and Ella. And they absolutely killed it. I mean, and Shamim was able to share her story. It was in the month of October, and she was able to share her story and her journey through breast cancer. And Ella was just fabulous on stage. And yeah, I think she introduced this book to all the banks in the room and beyond, and was able to sell a lot of books. And those banks are now using those for financial literacy. And it was wonderful. And so to me, that's ultimately, at the end of the day, what this Girl Banker community is truly about. I think when I first launched it, a lot of people thought, oh, it's just about Natalie. It's Natalie trying to gloat or be about me. And it couldn't be further from that.
No.
I may be the Girl Banker, but the Girl Banker community is truly, I mean, it's 100% of the value of what the platform is.
Building up everyone in the community is important to both of us. I mean, and I like that you're in our network with Shamim and everyone, because a lot of women don't know bankers.
Right.
And so having more girl bankers is an important thing for the world, too.
You know, you asked kind of like what's next for the Girl Banker. Just a side note, you know, with February being Black History Month, I actually reached out to Shamim and I said, I don't want to be just another white woman posting about Black History Month. And it is time. It is past time. It is overdue. This platform needs to be more vocal about supporting all women. And help me do this. Help me do this correctly, because being authentic and sincere is so, so important to me. And I don't in any way want this to be about me, but I want it to be either an ability to amplify voices or to give recognition where needed. And so I'm very appreciative of her and some connections she's made for me to have some discussions that definitely need to extend well beyond Black History Month. They need to be all the time, forever. And so I look forward to continuing those conversations and hopefully putting that into the podcast and so on. So that connection to Shamim has been very valuable to me. I really, really value that.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is one thing that you think everyone should know, like every woman should know? About business, about banking, it can be about anything.
You know, the thing that comes to mind, and maybe this is just because this is something that I'm really coming to reckon with. As an overachiever, as an A-type personality, as someone that is a perfectionist, as someone who doesn't want to ever fail, I think maybe, I don't know if it's just being in my 40s or just being in the phase of life I'm in. I think women need to do a better job of appreciating the phase they're in. And I say that from early in my career, I was so future focused all the time that I had a hard time enjoying what was going on around me. And then when things didn't work out just perfectly, I was devastated. And so I think just allowing yourself the grace to know that you're not, like, perfection isn't the goal. Enjoy the time that you're in. Appreciate the time that you're in. Recognize that good relations, you know, those relationships may come and go throughout that time too. And that you're always evolving. You want to always be evolving. Because, you know, and I think that's something, if I could go back and tell my future self, or my younger self, I am my future self, I guess, in this scenario, is to just chill out a little bit and keep pushing, keep working hard. Give yourself so much more grace, though. And just take a breath and enjoy where you're at, because you've got so much time ahead of you to perfect and to get there. The next thing would be, I think that women need to really pay attention to, I had a boss that used to say this, who you attach your wagon to.
Oh, yes.
Like, who is around you? Is it bringing you up, or is it lifting you up? Are these people lifting you up as they go up? Are they building a floor to keep you below them? Are they pushing you down? Because there's different phases in my life where I know I was surrounded by the wrong people, or people that I, you know, just allowed to be there and they were taking up space that they didn't need to.
Life is hard enough.
Yes.
And if you've got someone around you that's slightly sabotaging, and it can even just be little things of just not giving back, and you're putting all the energy into the... I understand that some of those relationships are necessary, but also you get to a point in your life where you need support.
Absolutely.
Or just a give and get.
And recognizing that maybe a small group.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger the group, the more likelihood not all of them are cheering for you. What are these people saying about you in a room when you're not there? You know, and I think that that's something that every woman should keep in mind. And do these people make you feel better about yourself or worse? And those are just some simple questions to ask whenever you're in these groups. And I think that's something that every woman should think about.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you want to talk about?
Oh, goodness. I think that we could probably talk all day if we needed to.
Oh, yes.
And try to solve all the world's problems. And hopefully one day we can solve all the world's problems, because we've got some problems.
I think having healthy communities, I mean, this has been my love of Woman Run for so long, of just throwing all of my energy into this to then say, okay, we can solve things if we're together, if we talk, if we work together. I believe that so much. And I think the Girl Banker community is helping.
I do. I think so too. And, you know, it's, to me, what's so funny about that Facebook group specifically is that it was not even on my initial intentions for the platform. And now I can't even fathom what it would be without it. So I want to be very careful in saying thank you to Facebook about anything. But I'm glad that that was such a big deal in whatever year it was that I started that, because otherwise I don't know that I would have given it. I mean, maybe I would have. I don't know. But I'm sure proud of it. There is a group I created in LinkedIn. It never took off, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, and I think it's, you know, if you're ever dealing with social media management, you have to recognize every platform has its place, and the group just doesn't live there. The group lives on Facebook, and there's no need to try to be everything to everybody.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of the Woman Run podcast. Thank you, Natalie, joining me and talking and being so authentic and building this wonderful community. I know that it inspires me. I hope it inspires others. And so be sure to follow Woman Run on social media. Be sure to follow The Girl Banker on social media. And we'll have more announcements about upcoming podcast speakers and